Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another Metaphysical Romp 2. And yes, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, one of your friends that gets to be a host or a co-host. And I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is the third musketeer, Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again. And as you know, my wife and I, Cher and I, business partners and I, are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com. And you can take a shortcut to get us, yourspiritualpractice.com.
Yes, indeed, yourspiritualpractice.com, and there's a lot of info there. And of course, you can go to my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar and my doings, where I'm going to be for the next 6 or 8 months, and of course, the Absolute Word. And if you really like the Absolute Word and you want to get on the email list, just go to alberthasselbeck@gmail.com and make a request. And that information is actually on the website now, so if you want to subscribe, you can do that.
Woo-hoo.
I really had one of those aha moments. Someone said, why isn't there information on your website? How to get on the email? And I really thought there was, but there wasn't. Anyway, okay, so in the first segment, we're going to be looking at law. And today we're looking at the law of idea and its manifestations. And then we're going to have a little break to give you some information. And then we're going to be looking at Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And Cher has chosen Inside Voice. And if we have time, not likely with us, we're going to be looking at virtues and wrapping it up with the Absolute Word. And before we actually get romping, we have to say it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
Yes, it is. It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And you've probably guessed it. It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
You know what? That actually works better. I don't know if people have thought about that. You're saying Buddha, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So it's another Christ consciousness day. Doesn't sound right. But when we say beautiful and you say Buddha, that just...
Beautiful. I love it.
Another Bill-ism, what can I say?
It means the same thing.
Yeah,
it does. Okay, so we're looking at the law of idea and its manifestations. And this is another one of those laws that it only appears in one paragraph, and it comes from our friend Chuck, Charles Fillmore, Atom Smashing Power of Mind. And I have it as pages 153 to 154, but we have that addition problem, so they...
Mm-hmm. It could be,
you know,
anywhere.
They don't match up. So Cher, you do such a good job of reading. I'm going to let you take it away.
All right. And I just love the title of this, The Idea and Its Manifestations. Idea is a capital I, because it's the principle we're taught, or the law we're talking about. So here's what Chuck says. Many delusions arise among Christians because they lack understanding of the law of the idea and its manifestations. All things, all actions, all principles are working toward the unity of God, man, and the universe. But there must be a readjustment and a cleansing of the whole mass. If there are things, whether mental or physical, that are not up to the high standard of spirit, they must die. Jesus on the Mount spoke of his death that was to follow. This death is of the material perception of substance and life, which is reflected in man's body of flesh. This must perish. The limited concept of matter and of a material body must be transformed so that the true spiritual body may appear.
Wow, there is a lot in there. And there's some things that contradict other things that Fillmore has said. I'm sure you guys saw it as you're reading it. And he doesn't really define what the law of idea and its manifestations are, but I think I know.
It's different than what that paragraph, I was expecting something different when I initially was reading about this. When I saw the heading, I thought one thing, but the description is very different.
Yeah, so the description is talking about our inept way, or what we manifest inappropriately, because we're not really understanding the law of idea and its manifestation. It's always in operation, And I think this is referring back to what Fillmore calls the law of God, and other places he calls the law of divine order. This has got to be, because he wrote it as mind, idea, manifestation in the 12 Powers book. Okay, so so this is just another paragraph on that. But it's not just another paragraph, because there are really, really interesting things in here. Mm-hmm. So the second sentence, all things, all actions, all principles are working toward the unity of God, man, and the universe. I haven't ever heard him say that. That everything is working in that direction.
That kind of goes along with the phrase that you hear a lot, the universe is wired in our behalf.
Yeah.
Have you heard that phrase?
Yeah, it does. It does. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand working toward the unity of God, man, and the universe, because they already are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're all united by the principles and laws that underlie them. So I don't know. And then he gets into readjustment and cleansing of the whole mass.
In other words, we're a mess.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh. So I wonder if he was thinking cleansing of this whole mess.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Changing A to E.
Yeah.
And then he says, if there are things, whether men are mental or physical, that are not up to the high standard of spirit, they must die. Well, everything mental and physical cannot match spirit, which is, again, divine principle and law. I mean, everything on the mental and physical plane are a limitation on it. So how's that ever going to happen?
Is he talking, do you think, about the journey to enlightenment? That
I think he is.
Getting rid of things that don't match, and eventually when we're enlightened, we're no longer in our skin school.
Yeah, and I this is where I differ with Fillmore, and I might even differ with you guys a little bit. I don't think the goal is to get back somewhere. I think it's to remember that we are the somewhere.
Exactly. No, we agree with that.
So this is back to that fall in consciousness and blah, blah, blah. Then these last two sentences are amazing. So this is, actually three sentences, or maybe four, I don't know. So Jesus on the Mount spoke of his death that was to follow. And we should say, it is reported.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke on the Mount of his death.
Right. Somebody there had a little recorder that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was digital.
Yes.
Wasn't a reel to reel. This death is of the material perception of substance and life, which is reflected in man's body of flesh. This must perish. Now, how in the world is that there when Fillmore believed his physical body could last forever? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
True.
Because he really did believe that.
Oh my goodness.
He harped on that.
And then he goes, the limited concept of matter and of material body must be transformed so that a true spiritual body may appear. So now this is something you do find in the writings. And it's almost like some places he doesn't complete the thought, because the idea is the spiritual body can last forever. Then one must ask what the spiritual body is. And I've looked it up, and he says the spiritual body is made up of divine ideas. What? Right? I mean, what? So anyway, so I'm just going to go back to this law of the idea and its manifestation is really nothing more than mind, idea, manifestation, or what we say today is mind, idea, expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the whole point being, we can have divine manifestation or diddly squat, like we like to call it.
I love that. I love that.
If we're not aligned, which is what he's talking about here, then it still works. The law still works, but it's producing things that aren't what we really want.
I'm also thinking that his sentence, a limited concept of matter and a material body must be transformed so that the true nature essentially may appear. I think of the Buddhist concept of the mandalas. The same mandalas is the same concept.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That is really good. And boy, pardon the expression, it blew me away the first time I learned they did all that work and then just collected together.
Oh, yeah.
A river. It's like, wow, talk about non-attachment.
Have you watched, they come to this area periodically, and we took a whole group of our, from our cafe and went over there to watch. And it is amazing. I mean, it takes them days to put this, and they're so meticulous as they do it.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
And then the scattering ceremony is amazing too. It's just incredible. You don't leave in the same frame of mind you came in.
Wait a minute. I think I'm channeling Bill. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So the next one is the law of imagery or the law of divine imagery. Again, I think this is a one-off, and this appears in Mysteries of Genesis. So go ahead, Cher.
All right. This is what he says. Divine mind images its ideas definitely and in every detail. The idea precedes the fulfillment. Let there be represents the perfect confidence necessary to demonstration. Wow. I mean, there's more, but that's a pretty powerful
statement. That's pretty powerful right there.
Let there be. Ideas are productive and bring forth after their kind. They express themselves under the law of divine imagery. The seed is within the thought and is reproduced through thought activity until thought habits are formed. Thoughts become fixed in the earth or formed consciousness. In divine mind, all is good. Again, a definite degree of mind unfoldment has been attained. Man, in forming his world, goes through the same mental process working under divine law. Jesus said, the seed is the word of God.
All right. Well, Cher, since you made a little side comment there, why don't you take the commentary away there from the beginning? Okay.
Well, he's obviously metaphorically going back to creation, the creation story, and he's making that connection. But I just love that first paragraph where he really defines it there. You have to have the idea before you can really produce. And I think a lot of times our manifestation is a mess because we haven't clearly defined what it is we want or what it is we're working toward. And then that whole idea of let there be represents the perfect confidence. It's not like here's what I wish for or here's what I'm asking for. It's let there be, like let there be light. And there was light.
So, yeah. And so that really connects to the power of faith or the principle of faith. And my favorite definition of faith now is conviction. When you say, let there be light, you're convicted, right? You got the conviction. It's not wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's not wishy-washy. Yeah, so
once again, I think about Jesus was reported to have raised Lazarus from the dead. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Or this or something better.
Right? Or as I joke, highest and best for you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and that gets us back to what happens in vagueness stays in vagueness. Jesus is super vague.
Yep. Yeah.
And what do we hear in New Age? Be careful what you ask for. Mm. What?
Yes. Mm. I know that and this or something better, they are so... That is such a wishy-washy statement when you think about it. And I used to use it, so I can understand how people do it. But it's almost like I know this isn't really going to happen, so I'm already giving myself an escape clause.
Yeah. Well, and even worse, in my case, when I used this or something better, it was, this is what I'm wishing, but God, I don't want to offend you. If you have something better to give me, than have at it, which
is God out there.
Yeah,
it's not even in my belief system anymore. But wow!
All right, amazing.
Are you ready to go to the next segment? I am.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
So segment two has been Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, and Cher's choice this week is Inside Voice. Voice. It's actually Use Your Inside Voice. Yeah. This is alphabetical, and it's page 195, and Cher, take it away.
All right, and I love this one. This is one of my favorite ones. A lot of them are favorites, but this one I really like. In fact, we did a whole truth talk around this concept.
Oh, you did? Oh, great.
We did, yes. So here's what Bill says. How many times have you heard a parent whisper to a child, shh, use your inside voice? How many times have you said that to your own children or grandchildren? Just prior to that warning, the youngster is usually speaking at a pitch louder than is deemed necessary. The idea is you want the youngster to learn proper etiquette and accepted behavior. But the inside voice I'm referring to is a different kind of inside voice. It's a voice we must learn to listen to when we're facing difficulties, when we suffer major setbacks, when we run into 10 miles of bad road. It's a voice we must listen to if we are to grow personally and professionally. It's a voice we must pay attention to if we're to master the art of living. It's the voice that comes from what psychologists refer to as our authentic or true self. It's the voice of inner strength. It's the still, small voice. When the world is screaming its woes, when friends are letting you down, when you want to yell out in frustration and pain, when you are experiencing a dark night of the soul moment, that's when the only thing to do is use your inside voice.
Wow, this is really good, as they always are, Bill. And I would say, I would just add, the time to start practicing is before the stuff hits the fan.
Oh, yes.
Amen to that. Yeah.
So we have to get still and learn to hear that inner voice. And another name I give it is that which knows that it knows. It's my inner knower.
Nice. Your inner knower. I like that.
Inner knower. And it's never upset with anything that's going on the outside. I don't think it even knows of upset. Mm-hmm. It just knows.
Some people call it their intuition. But one of the things people say, well, I don't really have that. I never hear it. Yeah. And I always like to tell people, have you ever said, when something happened, you go, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. In that moment, that's your learning moment. So pay attention to what you're saying and remember how you felt when you heard that urge but didn't do it, and become aware of what that felt like, because that's your inner voice talking to you. And the next time, you'll be able to say yes and follow it.
Wow, Cher. This is an Ermergerd moment. Oh my God, moment. Because I have, in all these years, I've never heard you say that.
Oh, wow.
And that is such a profound thing, because I haven't had a really good concrete example of where we know a person has their inner voice, and that's it. When you know that you're supposed to do X and you don't do X, that was your inner voice.
That's right. Yeah. And sometimes we don't know that until it's too late.
Well,
But if we say that, if you say, I knew I should have, or I knew I shouldn't have done that, you're referring to the conversation you had with your inner voice that you ignored, or you just said, I don't agree with you.
That is very profound. And we also have to emphasize that every time we don't listen, we reinforce not listening.
Absolutely. That's why this whole practice is so important, because you're taking every situation and using it as a learning or a teaching moment for yourself.
Yeah.
And so you're training yourself to understand. It's like listening to your body. People always say, listen to your body. And I never knew what that really meant until I started. It's almost after the fact, and you can remember, you knew you were tired and you should have rested, but you didn't. And then you crash and burn. Yeah. And it's like, now I know what they meant. I should have listened to those signals.
Well, and that connects to another one of the unity concepts, which I pretty much blew off for quite a while. And you'll remember there's that whole chapter on the four functions of consciousness, which is sensing, feeling, thinking, intuiting, and really getting in touch with, when you're thinking about something or you're hearing that inner voice, what does it feel like? And there, we're not talking about in your body, because it's the sensing that's your body function. So having the awareness of all three, and often, now I notice my inner voice is saying something because of my sensing function, the way my body feels. It just doesn't feel right. And so this is really good. And I've never, even though the word intuition includes in, right, I am, so many people interpret intuition what the universe or God is telling them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
And that gets us off track. So that's why I'm really happy Bill said, is that it's the voice that comes from what psychologists refer to as our authentic or true self. It is the voice of inner strength. It is the still small voice. And this is, again, where science meets metaphysics, right?
True. And what most people don't understand about intuition is that Cher and I define intuition as logic in a hurry.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And when I talk about intuition, there is another inner voice that is not still, and that's the voice of our adverse ego.
True.
Mm. And it's more based on our history rather than our capital R reality. And that's what I call human intuition.
And
it's often wrong, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
No. And the way I tell the difference is my human intuition is urgent. It's like, look out, something bad's going to happen, or you're going to die. And it's fear-based, and the energy's jagged. And so here again, we're back to, how does that feel? If it feels uncomfortable in my body, and if it feels jagged, then probably my human intuition, my human inner voice, and it's frequently wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
Frequently wrong. So that intuition is an interesting thing. Okay.
I just love this. This is great. This is a good topic.
Okay. So that's a good place to stop. Yes?
Yes, it is.
All right. So we are now pivoting to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday message appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication.
I love the connection again.
Right? We're always doing it, and it has been used with permission. Okay. So this comes from March 10, 2019, and the word is insight.
Isn't that amazing? That is so cool, because we don't really connect those things.
Well, yeah. So you choose these before I even send the guide sheet to you, and then there it is, right? So it's insight. I see myself clearly from the inside of Christ consciousness. If this was not a Unity context, I would say I see my life clearly from the inside of my higher consciousness, mm-hmm. something like that. The Apostle Paul wrote, "The Christ in you, the hope of glory," in Colossians 1:27, "and let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:5. Metaphysically understood, these phrases mean that regularly coming into Christ consciousness transforms my view of everything. My Christ consciousness empowers my insight. And from our, we could say it empowers my true voice, my inner voice, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No matter how today's events may unfold, I am never overwhelmed because outer events do not cause my inner experience. My insight shows me that my inner experience of outer events is based on my current beliefs. My spiritual journey begins with self-awareness of my divine nature. As I deepen my awareness of my Christ consciousness, my insight deepens. Through the power of love, I desire to see through worldly appearances and events to the spiritual truth underlying and underwriting everything. I see my life clearly from Christ consciousness. Woo-hoo!
Very powerful. Mm-hmm. I love that.
This one I had fun with. I had to do a little work and on it. And some of these I have to write and rewrite. And I really am happy with this. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. Good. All right, friends. Well, that brings another round around the virtual kitchen table.
All right,
everybody. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. And know that we are doing this for you. And it blesses us. So I know it blesses you. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Bye. Once again, it's been our privilege.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.